Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the tree of life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Winter is coming. Heavy rain, sleet, snow, and ice. Are your tires up for the challenge? Tread confidently in winter's worst with the new set of tires from Tire Rack. They sell only the best, like the full line of Michelin tires. Go to TireRack.com/sports. Tell them what you drive. Your tires will be shipped fast and free to you or to one of over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
It is the iCouple. I'm Chris. He's George. We're live from the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com will help you get there, wherever there may be. They've got an unmatched selection, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, and more than 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com is the way tire buying should be. We got Daniel Kelly. He's a former NFL scout, and he will join us at the bottom of the hour. Now, he was one of the few that said back in 2021 that Trey Lance, would be a bust. So he thought the 49ers were making a mistake. And at this point, it looks like it. Whether Lance can really play or not, maybe he'll do it somewhere else. But it'll be good to talk to him and get his opinion on this situation. Now, let's stick with the NFL, George. And we've talked about this with our callers, Randy Mueller. But the Jonathan Taylor situation. Now, Randy Mueller, former executive of the year in the NFL, he said that he'd be surprised. He doesn't think there's a market for Jonathan Taylor. And I got to be honest, I think Jonathan Taylor's great. But I tend to agree that there is not, I don't think there's going to be much of a market. Now, the reports are that six teams are talking with him, with the Colts, that two have already made offers. Are they up to what the Colts are talking about, a first rounder or the equivalent, you know, a couple of seconds or a second and a third or whatever. But I just think that when you look at the way running backs have been treated this offseason, George, as good as Jonathan Taylor is, he's coming off an injury. Last year, he's still young, you know, but his production, and I know some of it maybe was injured, but his production is not what it was 2 years ago or even his rookie year as far as yards per carry. But still, 4.5 yards, you'll take that. But in addition to the injury, there's the question. He's going to want a contract extension. That's the whole problem in Indianapolis. And if you trade for him and don't give him the extension, which I don't think a team would be willing to do, just looking at the climate, then you're going to inherit the same problem that Indianapolis is having, which is a disgruntled running back.
The issue with this trade is, like, there's multifaceted. First of all, Indianapolis doesn't want to trade him. They're not going to trade him.
I agree with Red. Do you think it's the Lamar Jackson thing? That's what I think it is. Like, go out there and see what's out there. There's nothing different than we're talking.
See, the first issue is this, Chris. is if you want a first round pick for Jonathan Taylor, that means that you believe he's not a good running back, but a great running back. Like an Adrian Peterson, Derrick Henry, yeah. Like a great running back.
He was great 2 years ago. Yes. But that's 1 year. Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying is that if you want a first round pick for him, that's what you're saying. And then the problem is if you think this guy is worth a first round pick, why won't you pay him? That's number one. And the second thing is.
But don't you think, let's stop there quickly because I want your opinion. I think a lot of that is the position he plays. I mean, the absolute best aren't getting paid anymore.
Chris, it wouldn't matter.
It would because he's a running back. Derrick Henry, Christian McCaffrey, Ty Gurley, the last guy, Ezekiel Elliott, the last guys to get big money. That I don't know that they would get that now. Maybe Henry.
Because he is unique.
Derrick Henry's offense was built around him.
Derrick Henry's a Hall of Fame player. Adrian Peterson, now Adrian's gone,
and that was a long time ago. I mean, we saw dudes get paid three, four years ago.
Even in this era, if you run into a Hall of Fame caliber running back, those guys are still going to get paid. But the problem is, hold on. Here's the problem. Josh Jacobs last year carried the ball 340 times for 1,653 yards. For at 4.9 yards carry. The problem is the wins above replacement. That's the issue. When you have guys like Travis Etienne, who is on his rookie deal, averaging 5.1 yards a carry on only 220 carries. You got Aaron Jones splitting carries, averaging more yards per carry over 1,000 yards.
Tony Pollard, a lot of guys.
Tyler Algier, Ramondre Stevenson, Damian Pierce. The issue is that from the guys who were at the top of the rushing list, from the guys who were at 11, 1,200 yards who were splitting time, there's not as big of a drop-off. Now, Derrick Henry, let me make it real plain.
Clear that there was a drop-off. Best four running, just running backs in the league. Derrick Henry, Nick Chubb, Jonathan Taylor, Josh Jacobs. None of them made the playoffs. And the year Taylor, 2 years ago when Taylor led the league in rushing, they didn't make the playoffs in Indianapolis.
Yep.
Now, McCaffrey, yes, but he's a lot of receiving from McCaffrey, too. And he's on a stacked team. So, he wasn't leading Carolina anywhere.
Nope. And that's the difference is that the difference between the guys who are at the top of the running back list, and I'm going to take Derrick Henry out of that because he's getting older at this point. So,
right.
And he's a Hall of Fame caliber player. So I'm going to take him out of there. All the rest of the running backs in the league at this point, none of them appear to be, quote unquote, Hall of Fame caliber player. Nick Chubb is the best one out of all of them. And now when you go to a different position, when you go from a top tier player at defensive end, we're talking, MVP, defensive MVP in Bosa, to a middle tier player, you're going to fall off from 20 some sacks to like five or six. There's a bigger drop off to that. At wide receiver,
well, let me ask you this,
there's a bigger drop off from the greats in the league to the middle tier guys.
The talk is that a Miami should go for him, which look, or a Dallas. And here's, I'll say briefly,
Miami is going to run running back by committee anyway.
Right. And that's what, see, Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson Jr. Yes, not as good as Jonathan Taylor. But to your point you brought up earlier, those dudes will give you over 5 yards a carry. They do. Mostert's done that everywhere. Last year with San Francisco, at least, Wilson did it. Both of those guys, Wilson's not quite as good as Mostert, but both of those guys helped San Francisco get to the Super Bowl a few years ago with Jimmy G as the quarterback, and they were running the ball and getting yardage. So is Miami going to break the bank for give up picks and give Jonathan Taylor the huge deal when they got two guys? They're a pass-first offense. They're going to be throwing it on the outside, and their running backs, that'll open things up for their running backs. So I think those guys will be able to run. The other team is Dallas, you're hearing. People talk about them. They got Tony Pollard. They like the backups, you know, Rico, Dowdell, and Deuce Vaughn. They got a great offensive line. I kind of think they got enough. I would like to see Taylor in Buffalo because I think that would take some pressure off of Josh Allen, which is what they need. But I don't – again, I don't see them breaking the bank. I just don't know that it's out there for him.
So you would have to give up a second-round pick or a third and a fourth or a third and a fifth for Jonathan Taylor and then turn around and pay him – I mean, how much is he going to accept?
A team is going to, you know what they're going to want to do. You know.
I'm giving
if him. If he, whatever team he's with this year, what is that team going to want to do with him next year? Franchise
tag him.
He can run for 2,000 yards. They
what I would do to a young player like Jonathan Taylor. Now, he's not near 27 yet, 28. I would give him a 3-year deal. At $14, $15 million, fully guaranteed, and that's it. Like,
wait, $14, $15 per year?
Yes. Like, I'm not giving you, I might be like 12, 13.
Who's getting that nowadays? No, Josh Jacobs didn't get it?
I'm saying if I believe, I do not believe that Josh Jacobs is as good as Jonathan Taylor or Nick Chubb.
Chubb didn't get that. Now, I get it. It was a few years ago. But
so I'm just saying that if I'm looking at a guy like Chubb, right, and Chubb's up, I would give Chubb 3 years, $14, $15 million, but I can get out of – but the first 2 years will be fully guaranteed, and I can get out of the third year for nothing and not even a hit against the salary cap.
I think if you're a top running back in this market, you jump at that. I think you jump at it. Now, let me ask you this. You were a tight end. Do you – the future of the running backs as far as the money, like, I just – it's unfortunate, and we always think of running back as a glamour position because that's what it was when we were coming up. But there always have been positions where the guys didn't get paid that much. And now it's running back. Fullback has virtually disappeared. That used to be a position and an important
one. It used to be a position.
You know what I mean? It used to actually be a position called fullback. It's pretty much disappeared now. You know what I mean? Like, it would be nice if they make different rules for the running backs. Hey, you can get out of your rookie deal after your second year or something like that. But that's not likely for one position. Do you think it's just, hey, it used to be centers and guards that didn't get paid? Well, now it's the running back. We supposed to cry over that? Where are you at on it?
The game is changing, Chris.
Yeah.
The game is changing, and you can't be upset with the evolution of the game. Because you can wear all the T-shirts, make fullbacks great again, all you want to. The game is evolving. And that doesn't mean that running backs are not valuable. They are very valuable.
Right.
From the Fox.
The difference is that their value is a little bit more short-lived. And if you're a running back now, you got to make yourself a Christian McCaffrey running back or a Travis Etienne running back.
Right.
And not a traditional. You have to be part wide receiver.
Right.
That way you can extend your career. It's almost
but
like.
But even that, remember Kareem Hunt. And I say remember, like he, you know, like he's old. He's 27.
Yeah,
he's not on the roster right now.
Hey, Chris, it's almost like in the NBA. 10 years ago, you used to be able to be, you know, Haywood, or you used to be able to be Roy Hibbert, and find a place on the floor. Or even JaVale McGee. But
well,
now
McGee still brought some value.
Yeah. But I'm talking about and get big time minutes. If you are a big man now and you can't and especially if you want to play the four and you can't stick a 15 footer, it's gonna be tough on you. Look at Sabonis, who's a really good player. He got exposed in the playoffs because he couldn't stick a 15 footer.
Yeah, but that boy's still balling.
He ain't in that category
of them cats you was talking about.
Yeah, but the limitations are there. And it's a bonus now. I guarantee you all offseason, he's sticking that 15-footer because you can't win like that anymore. And if you can't win like that anymore, then the game is going to change around you. So you have to adjust to it. And the running backs have to adjust to it if they want to get paid.
Yeah, no, we want to keep it here because I want to ask you a few questions. I mean, like you said, you have a son that plays football, big-time football player, quarterback. I want to ask you a little bit more about this running back situation. That will be around the corner. It's Chris Broussard, George Reister, The Odd Couple. He's in for Rob Parker. Keep it locked, Fox Sports Radio. All right, The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
For Rob Parker, we're live from the TireRack.com studio. We're brought to you and sponsored by BetterHelp. Therapy can bring out a whole new you, guys. And BetterHelp makes it easy to match with a licensed therapist. Get 10% off your first month of online therapy at BetterHelp.com/iCouple, BETTERHELP. .com/oddcouple. All right, this is what I wanted to ask you, George, because like you said, you have a son that's now a senior in high school, plays quarterback, looks like he'll play at the Division I level. Congratulations on that. Do you think now, because when I was coming up, for sure, and I'd even say when you were coming up, the best, most athletic players, where'd they play on offense? The fastest guys. Running back.
Running back, wide receiver even, but it was mainly running back.
Right, who mainly running back. Shifty? You didn't throw as much in high school, you know.
My position got switched because of that. I was a quarterback. My coach
now you,
in high school.
What'd you play in? What'd you end up? So they switched you from quarterback to what?
I played wide out. I played running back. I played everywhere. defensive end, outside linebacker was everything.
And it was the George Reister to show up in there.
And my coach's rationale was, I'm not putting my best player at quarterback. And that was because that was how the game was played and
now,
how they
now
wanted.
Right now they would probably leave.
Now they're like, I'm putting my best player who can make good decisions and get me out of trouble at quarterback. That's who I want with the ball in his hands at all times.
So this is what I want to ask you. Do you think not only that the best athletes won't be playing running back anymore for the most part, but that they won't even want to play running back. Like, if you're a great player, and look, there's one quarterback. Only so many guys can play quarterback.
Yep.
So do you think they're going to be more going to receiver, quarterback and receiver, just like the NFL? Or do you think they'll still, at least at the high school level, be playing running back? And maybe they get switched maybe in college or something.
They're going to try to play wide receiver. But the problem is with running backs, there's usually some physical limitations on that. They're usually about, you know, 5'9", 5'8", 5'9", and they're built right. Like little fire hydrants.
Right. Deuce Vaughn is like 5'6", isn't he? Backup for the Cowboys.
So there are some physical things that put you in certain positions. But it's your job, just like in basketball. If you have a son who's 7 feet tall, it's your fault as a parent or as a coach if he can't dribble the ball and do all of those other things, because people will just stick him in the post, tell him to rebound and all that stuff. So if your son is a running back, you have to make him a pass catching threat. He has to be able to do both. And now people will try to play wide out.
You might play at a school where you don't have a great quarterback.
Correct.
And y'all run the ball more. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but there's off-season
play running back.
Yeah, but there's off-season training. There's all of this stuff.
Right, other stuff.
And when you get to college, though, the hard part is that guys go to college all the time and they think that they're going to play one spot. And then the coaches identify early. They're like, he's cool there, but he might be better here. And players are going to do whatever it takes to get on the field. So if your options are be a backup wide receiver or be an NFL caliber running back, even though it may not be the most glamorous or you may not have the longest career or get paid as much as you want to, you could still make a very nice living.
You're going
to
be a running back.
Yes.
I agree. Like, I thought you were going to go the other way.
Josh Jacobs is going to make at least $30 million in his career.
Well, and that's the thing, like, with Jonathan Taylor. I get it. He is worth more, relatively speaking, than the $4 million he's making now. But you can't even think about sitting out, because you could get the $4 million this year, and then next year, yes, they'll probably franchise.
Yeah, you can't sit out.
But that's still $10 million. Like, I'm sorry. Where are you getting that money?
If you're not
want to play. So go ahead and get that. I get it. You're not making what, you know, so-and-so is making. But you know what? I'm not making what Stephen A. Smith is making.
Yep.
But I'm doing all right.
Stop counting other people's money.
Right.
Think about how unhappy that you would be if you were counting, if you were sitting up here on The Odd Couple on First Things First and sitting here saying, man, I'm not making Colin Cowherd money. I'm not making Stephen A. money. How miserable and silly would you be?
You're right. And that's where the backs are. And again, I get it. But like you said, man, the game has changed just like basketball has, and baseball's even changed. And it's just, it is what it is for the running backs. I hope it turns around, but I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
It's not going to turn around. It is.
You don't think like ever. Because we've had guys say, oh, it's cyclical. But you're probably right. I mean,
here's the deal. No, it's not cyclical.
With Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who I loved.
Yeah, coming out of LSU.
Loved him. I thought it was a great pick by the Chiefs.
I did too.
In the first round, right? But guess what? He got beat out by a seventh rounder from Rutgers.
And that's the problem with
And they won the Super Bowl.
That's the problem with the running back position, is that you can get a guy in the draft or a second or third year player for way less that'll give you like 90% of what the guy who you would be paying 15 times the amount for. I mean, literally.
Nah, you're right. You are absolutely right. That is
And
the
at
problem.
The other positions, that's not the case. It's damn sure not the case at quarterback. At wide receiver, it's not. Because you look at the Justin Jeffersons, the Jamar Chases, Diggs, and all Tyreek Hill, Waddle. There ain't too many dudes who can do that.
Right. Nah, you're right. Remember Philip, the guy for the Denver, Philip Lindsay?
Yep.
Remember that?
First two years,
undrafted.
Undrafted.
Rushed for over 1,000 yards his first 2 years. Like, I mean, that's the problem. Alvin Kamara was a third round pick. Kareem Hunt was a third round pick.
Yep.
Like, yep.
Contract for Alvin Kamara don't look that great right now.
No.
He didn't play great last year.
You know what? Ezekiel Elliott, obviously his game, you
that
know,
was the one.
Falling off.
That was the one that did that it, buddy. Was,
well, it did. It's smart. Look, that dude, God bless him.
Yeah, he was
he
special.
Got his money.
Yes, he
well,
did.
Well, he was special, but you know what I'm saying? Like, he got his money. He's probably the last one to get the huge money.
Yes. You know who he should thank for that? Emmitt Smith. Because remember, Emmitt Smith yeah. held out and right. the Cowboys tanked.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, Jerry Jones had to give in to him.
Right.
And then the same thing happened with Ezekiel That's Elliott. He was like, I'm not going to let this happen like, again. Right. I got exactly. a championship. And Ezekiel right. Elliott is $70 million in.
Ooh-wee.
$70 million. You ain't there. The only running back.
Who knows when another running back will get. I mean,
the last running back. So it's Ezekiel Elliott to even get near that. We're talking Ezekiel Elliott,
McCaffrey
and then you
got
Adrian
what,
Peterson, and then nobody else.
McCaffrey got what, 64?
Yes, that's
I don't know
it.
If he was after or before. Yeah, they're not getting that. All right, we're going to go to Daniel Kelly, former NFL scout, in a moment. But first, the loquacious Brian Finley with the update. B. Finn.
And George and Chris, as we look at Major League Baseball, three games have been won in walk-off fashion. We'll get to those in a moment. Games that are still going on. The Orioles are trampling the Blue Jays 4-0, bottom of the eighth inning, while the Yankees 9-0. They are leading the Nationals top of the eighth. New York trying to end a 9-game losing streak. And not one, not two, but three home runs from Aaron Judge in this game, helping in a big way. The Braves have expanded their lead 7-0 against the Mets, top of the eighth there, while the Astros are holding firm 4-2 in their favor against the Red Sox, bottom of the fourth. Now to the completed games, ones of notable status. The Brewers win in walk-off fashion 8-7 against the Twins in 10. White Sox winners in 10, 5-4 against the Mariners off a throwing error in the 10th. That is what decides the fate of that game. Phillies take it to 10 innings after a Bryce Harper 3-run home run ties things in the bottom of the ninth, but the Giants prevail in 10, 8-6 over the Phils. Padres 4-0 winners against the Marlins. Rays get it done in 10, 6-5 against the Rockies. And this just coming down, guys, the Guardians-Dodgers game, which had a rain delay going north of an hour in Cleveland in the third inning when things stopped. They have officially suspended this game, so it will not be played anymore or any attempt to try to play it the rest of this day. Lastly, quickly in the NFL, the Colts are accepting trade requests for running back Jonathan Taylor until Tuesday. Six teams, according to reports, have already reached out. And finally, American tennis great John Isner will make it this last event, the U.S. Open, coming up this month as his final tournament before he retires after 17 years on the ATP Tour. And he is about 6'9", could play in the NBA. Two guys I could see, especially Chris Broussard and obviously George Reister, with that athleticism, both could play in the NBA. I know, George, you play in the NFL. I want to see you take on Chris Broussard 1v1.
Man, please. He don't know,
anytime.
He glad I'm past my playing age.
Stop.
Past your prime.
He's glad I'm past my playing
age. Have you ever seen The Last Dragon?
Do I need to?
No.
Take them the designated place at the designated time, and I will gladly designate his.
Yo, if I was 10 years younger, boy, you'd be in trouble.
If you was 10 years younger, you'd be 10 years younger getting whooped on. That's what would happen.
That is our man, B. Finn. Thank you for the update, brother. We are live from the TireRack.com studios. The fresh scent of Irish Spring and those sensational Irish Spring suds are just the reset you need to own the day. Irish Spring, when the spring hits you, you're ready. Pick up Irish Spring at your local retailer. Today, our next guest, former NFL scout, friend of the show, Daniel Kelly. Daniel, welcome.
Hey, thank you, guys. It's so good to be back with you on the show.
Always good to have you, man. Let's get right into it. I know we're a little bit behind. You said years ago that Trey Lance would be a bust. I'm not going to say he can't at some point maybe get a shot and play well somewhere, but what right now, certainly that looks like the case. What convinced you of that early on?
Well, that's a great question. I went back and I looked at Trey Lance at NDSU and watched him on four games on YouTube, okay? Again, Central Arkansas, James Madison, North Dakota, and Butler. And these games are available for everybody to watch if you want to go watch them. And I saw zero dominant traits on his game film, and that was at the FCS level. I mean, this was a guy that looked like an accurate option quarterback, a guy who was an athlete trying to be a quarterback, and that's what prompted me to give him the undraftable, you know, free agent grade, you know, saying that, you know, online, on my report, that he projected to a possible practice squad player. Maybe this is the guy you bring in to run your scout team. I mean, there's so many things that showed up in game film. It was like I just listed him down a page. I mean, he had a lack for a feel for the pass rush. He looked overwhelmed against the pass rush, took too many sacks, didn't throw it away, was hesitant to pull the trigger and throw, especially against tighter coverages. His ball placement was all over the road. He was erratic. He didn't throw a lot of what I call wide receiver friendly passes. He was completely exposed, I felt, at the intermediate route level, especially against Central Arkansas. His deep ball was erratic, threw a lot of 50-50 balls, lacked deep touch. I didn't like him as a runner. I thought he looked average. He lacked elusiveness running the ball. I just wasn't seeing the upside, guys. I mean, I didn't think he was going to become any more accurate, when I say he lacked upside. And I didn't feel like he was going to become any more faster, more elusive running the ball either. He wasn't, again, dominant at the FCS level. And Dick Haley, when I was with the Jets, was our director of player personnel who helped build the 1970s dynasty with the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, he taught me. He said, hey, listen, you know, Daniel, if these guys aren't looking dominant, if they don't just jump off the screen at you at lesser levels of competition like the FCS, they don't really ever stand a chance in the NFL, and that's something that's always stuck with me. And then you flash forward to his pro day, which even lowered my grade on him even more and my thoughts on him even more, because this is where the number one weakness really jumped off the screen at me, and that was his lack of confidence, self-doubt. I wasn't getting a vibe of leadership in his body language. I watched him. He seemed lethargic, sluggish, eyes looked downtrodden, reminded me more of body language along the lines of a Jason Campbell or DeShone Kizer, of course, with the Browns. And so, you know, I was shocked, you know, as this thing, you know, Lance Manny, as it built up, and you know, here's Michael Lombardi coming out saying possibly Washington might trade all their draft picks for a shot to draft Lance. I'm just like, what's going on here? Because I wasn't seeing it at all, not remotely. Wow.
Wow. Now, did you have that feeling? Well, what was your feeling about Josh Allen coming out of Wyoming?
Well, I did not evaluate Josh Allen. I've been asked that a lot, but I did not evaluate him coming out.
I'll say, Daniel, look, I mean, you gave a very detailed answer, and we appreciate it as to why you didn't like Trey Lance. But when you look at – and obviously everybody makes mistakes – every position, there are busts and there are surprises. But obviously the quarterback position, probably more so than ever. Joe Montana was a third-round pick. Obviously Tom Brady, a sixth-round pick. Patrick Mahomes, you know, was a 10th pick. I mean, I know he was first-rounder, but still, 10th pick in the draft. And then a Darnold and a Trey Lance are third picks. And Marcus Mariota is the second pick. And Baker Mayfield's the first pick. Why? I mean – is it? It almost seems like it is a crapshoot at the quarterback position as far as who's going to be great and who's not.
To a degree. to a degree, but there's some telltale signs I feel that kind of separate who might be good from you know, projecting from college to the NFL, because there's certain, you know, skill sets that translate better to the NFL. For example, guys who are in the pocket who are able to get rid of the football quickly. The NFL is a game where the average release time is probably between 2 seconds and 2.9 seconds. Guys who can get rid of the football and don't hold it. Guys who go through their progressions is another big thing I look for on college game film. Not just guys that just lock in with their first read and just, you know, hard stare, you know, like Will Levis did at Kentucky, just hard stare the receiver, you know, before he throws. You know, that's another big one, going through the progressions. You know what I mean? Is moving your head back and forth, looking at the field. Another big thing, too, I look at, guys, is ball placement. Different than accuracy, I mean, different than the completion percentage, excuse me, but the ball placement. Is he throwing receiver-friendly balls? Where's the ball being placed? Where the receiver, like Mac Jones at Alabama, when he threw the ball and the receiver could just run right through the catch? Or do we have to default to a bunch of, like, you know, acrobatic, athletic receivers who are jumping and leaping and diving all over the place to catch the ball to pad the completion percentage? So those are three things I look for when I watch college quarterback prospects, and to me are telltale signs of who's going to have a better chance of projecting to the NFL than you know, becoming a bust.
Well, so before you go, where are you at on Caleb Williams?
Yep.
Caleb Williams right now, I have a second round grade on him. Wow. And
because everybody, he seems like he's going to be the number one pick.
Yeah, and he very well may be. There's a very good chance at, because once again, you know, here we go with the hype and whatnot. But to me, there's a few things that really concern me about Caleb Williams. Number one is his downfield ball placement. Another thing that concerns me is his ball security. He throws a lot of balls that are being tipped and deflected downfield. He runs around. He holds the ball half the time too long in the pocket. I feel almost like he's trying to become a playmaker, holding on the ball, running around, doing all this stuff. And another big, very huge risk on Caleb Williams is a threat for injury, in my mind, because of the way he runs the ball, and he's so physical running the ball and not taking better, you know, care of himself by sliding or ducking out of bounds. So those are some major concerns I have about Caleb Williams at this point.
All right, that is great stuff, man. We appreciate it. Whether you agree or not, that's some detailed analysis. We appreciate it. Daniel Kelly, former NFL scout. Great stuff, man. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, guys. Appreciate being on the show. Have a great night.
Yep. All right, more iCouple coming your way. Keep it locked. Fox Sports Radio.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byard. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Swing and a line drive to first. Pass the first baseman, Montero. In a right a hit. Masabe, round and third, waved home. The throw by Blackman up the line. Not in time. And the Rays have won it. Brandon Lau is the hero. 6-5-10. The Rays have walked it off.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
All right, that was a Progressive play of the day. Progressive's making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and your car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. We're live from the TireRack.com studios. Chris Broussard, George Reister's in for Rob Parker. Let's end it here, George. Aaron Rodgers, on the recent episode of Hard Knocks, his good friend, obviously from Green Bay, Randall Cobb, now with him with the Jets, he told the new receiving corps for Rodgers, the guys in with the Jets, that they better pick things up. Here he is.
Just talking to 12 or 8, and he was just telling me, you know, we had a lot of mistakes in our room today, and just basic stuff, little things. Like, we can't have that. And it's all cool right now, but I'm telling you, one day he's going to lose it. It's going to happen if it continues to go the way it's going right now. Because if he don't trust you, he's not going to throw you the ball. I can promise you that. If he don't trust you, he don't not like throwing interceptions. So if he can't trust that you're going to run the right route, he's not going to throw it. It's just a matter of time. Continue to work and stay in your book and stay locked in so we can get to where we want to go.
Hey, what do you think about that, George?
It's the truth. It is the truth. Being around quarterbacks, having a quarterback in my home, if they don't trust you, they're like, bro, I'm not putting the ball in danger because I can't trust that you're going to be where you're supposed to be. Be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. And you know who else was like that was Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning, players that played with him, the wide receivers, tight end, I remember talking to Dallas Clark about this. Dallas Clark was like, Peyton was hard on the wideouts. Like, you better be exactly where you're supposed to be. But he also said that if Peyton put the ball a foot not where it was supposed to be, even if it was catchable, he'd be like, my bad, I got to put that ball better. And it would have been a completion, look pretty nondescript. And he would go off on himself and be like, yo, that's my bad. The ball's supposed to be 2 feet outside the numbers, 2 feet up. And that's where it's supposed to be. And it wasn't there. It was one by one. So that's my fault. And that's the way that quarterbacks are, because Aaron Rodgers is going to hold himself to a higher standard. But then he's also going to demand that of the wideouts as well.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think this is the benefit of having a Hall of Fame quarterback, right? Yeah. Because the guys, obviously, they know he knows what he's talking about. They're going to listen to him. And I also think they want to impress him, right? Yep. Like on the Lakers, Austin Reeves, Jared Vanderbilt, all these guys, they want to impress LeBron. And so, look, if it was still Zach Wilson or Mike White or even maybe like a Kirk Cousins quarterback in this team, I don't think Cobb can necessarily say that. Right? But when it's a guy the stature of an Aaron Rodgers, they got no choice but to buckle up and bring their best. And I think that's good.
Yeah. It forces the level to go up for everybody, because the level of expectation is now higher. And there is no room for mediocrity. And if you watch Hard Knocks, that's been kind of the theme of the whole team, is that we got Aaron Rodgers, we got to be better. It's similar to what the Tom Brady effect when he went down to Tampa. Everybody's like, we got to be better. We got to go and press Tom. And that only happens because Tom expected perfection out of himself and then demanded it out of everybody else. And the same thing with Aaron Rodgers. Now, if they weren't like, but that's the difference between the elite quarterbacks and the Hall of Fame quarterbacks and a regular quarterback, is that that the expectation for greatness is higher for themselves even than what it is for their teammates.
Quickly, what are you expecting from the Jets this year? I don't know if you made your picks.
9-8.
So 9-8 now outside of the playoffs?
They're going to be right on the cusp. They're either going to be the 7th seed getting in or the 8th seed sitting on the outside.
You think there's a division that's going to get 3 in? I mean, AFC is so freaking deep. It's ridiculous.
It is going to be tough, but the only one that has a shot is the AFC East, because that's going to be tough, bro.
The North, man. I think the North going to be grinding.
Hey, if Burrow's
healthy, it's going to be tough. Well, Burrow, you got Burrow and Jackson, but you got Cleveland and Pitt, too. All right, we out!
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic, 'cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.